Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. We bring you our weekly reflection on the Sunday Gospel. In a change from our normal routine for the next 2 weeks, we'll be joining the spiritual director of the Pontifical Beda College here in Rome, Monsignor Peter Verity. The only thing that hasn't changed is the Gospel reading before the Feast of Corpus Christi. So stay tuned as Sean Patrick Lovett does the reading for us.
Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd, so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets."
It is a familiar story, often known as the feeding of the 5,000. And of the four gospel stories, this is St. Luke's account. We're told that there was an enormous gathering of people. The number 5,000 is not an exact figure but an estimate, but the main purpose of the number is to emphasise the size of the crowd, a huge number of people, a lot of mouths to feed. We're told they have been listening to the word of God and hearing about the kingdom of God. They have been there all day, but they are not complaining. In fact, some of them have been cured of ailments and sickness. There is a general feeling at the beginning of this gospel that the people are all feeling pretty good about things. They are not ready to move away. They want to stay and hear more. They are eager for this new teaching. They don't even seem to notice their hunger and need of food. But the disciples do notice, and they are getting tired and are ready to move on. There's a sense among them of, "Oh dear, we can't stay here forever. How are we going to get rid of these people? How on earth are we going to feed them?" So they talk about it together and start to make a plan to solve the problem. "Let's dismiss these people and tell them it's all over for the day. The party's over. Let's send them away and tell them to go to the villages round about to find food and lodging for the night." The plan has begun to form in the minds of the disciples and is developing rapidly. There is an old spiritual saying which goes, "If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans." This is exactly what the disciples are doing. They are looking at the problem as a logistical one. They are planning how to move the crowds away in the nicest way possible so they can go and get some rest. They've got it all worked out. This is how we'll control the situation, and this is how we can resolve it effectively. And isn't this often what we do ourselves? We tell God what we want, and we tell him how to do it. We have a map in our minds as to what our future will be, the way we would like things to go, the path that will lead us through the next stage in our lives. The plans we make may often be about our personal future, But they may also be about the future of the church or the diocese or the world and our place in it all. When we find ourselves making plans such as these, perhaps we need to remember that old saying, "If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans." And I wonder if we can hear God laughing, or at least smiling, in Jesus' reply in today's Gospel. The simple reply, "Give them something to eat yourselves," is not said in a tone of mockery, and Jesus is not laughing at them. But I can sense a smile from Jesus at the thought they could even begin to solve the problem of the huge crowd of people. You can almost imagine Jesus saying, "Okay, if you think you can do this, you go ahead. See how you get on. Ho, ho, ho." I get the feeling from today's Gospel that Jesus is smiling rather in the way parents might smile as their baby takes its first tottering steps. Do we ever make God laugh as we tell him our plans? Can we sometimes hear the gentle echo of God's smile as we work out our own solutions to our future? As the story in the Gospel moves on, it begins to dawn on the disciples that they simply can't do it. They say, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people," which is obviously a ridiculous solution. In the account of this story in St. John's Gospel, the words used by the disciples are, "And what is that among so many?" A phrase which sums up this moment when the disciples begin to recognise not only the enormity of the task, but also their limitations in being able to do anything about it. Again, I wonder if that ever happens in our lives. Does there come a point when our inadequacy dawns on us, when we realise that we can't do it all? It may happen when we look at some of the problems facing the world, such as poverty and warfare. Or it may come through our realisation that we can't overcome illness or pain in ourselves. However it happens, we begin to see how small we are in the midst of it all. Even our best efforts will only be a drop in the ocean. Our talents, our gifts, our best work and effort are like the five loaves and two fish. Very good and fine in themselves, but nothing in the face of the needs of so many. When it comes down to it, we have to admit we can't do very much about very many things in our world. And it is precisely at this point, when we acknowledge our limitations, our weakness, our poverty, that miracles begin to happen. Because that is the moment that Jesus will take over. It's almost as though God will only act once we've admitted our poverty and weakness and handed the whole situation over to him. And what does Jesus do in today's Gospel? He takes the offering of five loaves and two fish, which represent the offering of ourselves, our lives, the best we can bring, however poor and inadequate that might be. And he transforms it all in a way that only God can. As the Gospel says, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them and gave them. That is what Jesus did to the loaves and fishes, and it is what God does to us and our efforts once we have handed it all over to him. And the result is that there is more than enough for everyone. They all ate and were satisfied, the Gospel tells us. And even after that, the leftovers filled 12 wicker baskets, more even than the initial quantity of food in the five loaves and two fish. God's abundance is manifest, and this overwhelming abundance of goodness is offered to us and to all people, once we have admitted our poverty and our human limitations. The more we rely on ourselves, the less God will do. The more we realise our own inadequacy, the more he takes over, with wonderful results. Many of you will take part in a Mass and the Eucharist today. Some who are not able to get to church will receive Holy Communion at home. But whatever is possible, you have all been able to listen to the Scriptures. You have heard Jesus speaking to the crowd about the Kingdom of God, and in hearing of those things spoken of then, we hear them also spoken to us today. In addition, we can and should ask for healing where we need to be cured. While some of us may need physical or mental healing or the healing of our situations or our memories, the healing we need most of all is the healing of our self-sufficiency, our pride, our sense that we can manage without God. Only when we recognize that will God start to bring about miracles in us and in our world. Let us pray for that healing and for God's abundance for ourselves and our loved ones today.
And many thanks there to Monsignor Peter Verity, the Spiritual Director at the Pontifical Beda College here in Rome, for bringing us this reflection. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.